Good evening, everyone. This week's Parshas Vetzchanin, Tavshin Ayin Tes. We begin on page 958 in the Art Scroll. We're starting from Perek Dalet Pasuk Aleph, chapter 4, verse 1. So again, page 958, Perek Dalet Pasuk Aleph, chapter 4, verse 1. Vata Yisrael. And now, Yisrael, Shema l'chukim v'la mishpatim, listen to the statutes and to the judgments, asher aneichim alameid eschem la'asais, that I am teaching you to do, l'ma'an techiu, so that you shall live, uvasem, and come, v'vishtem es ha'aretz, inherit the land, asher Hashem elokeav v'yseichem v'yseim lachem, that Hashem, the God of your fathers, is giving you. Lo yiseisifu ala davar, you shall not add to the things Asher aneichem etzav eschem, you shall not add to the word that I command you, v'leisigru mimenu, nor shall you sigru, nor shall you detract or subtract from it, lishmar es mitzvos Hashem elokeichem, to guard, to observe the commandments of Hashem your God, asher aneichem etzav eschem, that I am commanding you. So here the Torah tells us, do not add, do not subtract from that which I have commanded you. What does this mean exactly, adding or subtracting? So Rashi tells us what it means is, let me just find the Rashi. Rashi says it means, this is the Rashi to the left column, the bottom two lines, lo yiseisifu, you shall not add, kagoyin chamesh parshiyas betfilin. Right? You decide that your tefillin aren't going to have four portions of the Torah, you're going to add a fifth. Chamesh is meaning belulav. You're not going to have four species to the lulav. You're going to add a fifth. The chamesh tzitzis. Instead of having four tzitzis, you want to add a fifth. The Torah says you may not do that. The chayin loy sigru. So too, you cannot subtract. Today I'm only having three tzitzis. You know, or this year I'm only having three minim. If you add to the mitzvah or you subtract from the mitzvah, this is the Torah's prohibition. You may not do so. The Ramban, Nachmanides, when he explains this mitzvah, he also brings on, like Rashi says, the idea of adding another portion to the tefillin, another one of the species, etc. And then he brings a sifri that has another example of not adding. And that is, the Kohen says three brachas, right? Yerach Hashem v'shmerecha, Yerach Hashem panav elecha v'chuneka, Yisra Hashem panav elecha v'yaseim lecha shalom. Those are the three brachas. The Kohen gets up and says, I want to add a fourth. In the last week's parsha, there is a verse, Hashem Elokei Vayseichem Yosef Aleichem, Hashem, the God of your fathers, should add to you. I want to add that. I want to make a fourth bracha to the Brachas Kayanim. You're not allowed to do that. Torah says, V'yisasif ala davar, do not add to the word. Even if it's just a question of words, you can't add to it. Okay? Other examples that's brought that the Ramban brings down. If a person says, now again, we know that there is a different customs when it comes to, do we eat in the Sukkah on Shemini Atzeres? We're not eating the Sukkah on Shemini Atzeres. But if a person says, right, I'm sleeping in the Sukkah on Shemini Atzeres because I'm adding another day to Sukkahs, basically. If his intent is that he's sleeping another day in the Sukkah because he's adding another day to Sukkahs, not because of a question, is it, isn't it, right? He's adding it. He's in Eretz Yisrael, right? Eretz Yisrael. There's no questions, right? 7 days of Sukkot, no questions, right? He said, I'm sleeping an eighth. What's sleeping an eighth for? I'm adding, doing more. Can't do more. The same thing if a person decides this year Sukkot, 6 days. Okay, 6 days enough. I slept 6 days. Seventh day, I'm not bothering. That's subtracting from the mitzvah that you may not do.
But when he does, if he does that, does it take off the 7 days he did the right thing?
No. Now.
But we eat sometimes. Some people eat Shabbat.
Now that's not. First of all, there's a mitzvah to add to Shabbos. It's one of the laws of Shabbos to add to Shabbos. So if you decide that Shabbos is going to be, if you decide that you're going to extend Shabbos till Wednesday, Tuesday. Right? I do Shabbos till Wednesday. Okay, because Tuesday, theoretically, you could keep going, right? I do Shabbos till Wednesday. You're adding to the mitzvah, right? You know, but the point is, sometimes there are laws, right? You can extend Shabbos, you can do Shabbos up to the point where it ends, you can extend Shabbos. That's all part of the laws of Shabbos. But here, there's no law of if Sukkot is over, there's no law to sleep in the Sukkot. Okay? Now, then he gives another example. Another example of, let's say, you decide, forget about, let's say, adding to the mitzvah, right? All the examples that he gave were adding to a mitzvah, subtracting to a mitzvah. Let's say you make your own holiday. Okay? I'm making my own holiday. Okay? I'm adding up, but I'm adding a holiday like, and I'm considering it a mitzvah of the Torah. Right? I'm adding another holiday to the Torah. Okay. He makes up his own mitzvah. Let me take back. We're just going to read around words that run around by.
What does he do?
Let me finish. Afilu bada lasay smitzvah fnei afilu bada lasay smitzvah fnei atzmai. Kain she'asa chag b'chayde shabad emli by kiravam. He decides to make his own holiday. He's making his own holiday. He's making up his own mitzvah. That too, to go ahead and say I am adding a mitzvah to the mitzvahs of the Torah, that one is not allowed to do that. And he brings down the Gemara in Megillah. We're not going to go through the whole Gemara, but the Gemara in Megillah says that when Esther and Mordechai requested that from the Sanhedrin, from the high court of the Jewish people, to institute the holiday Purim, it wasn't so simple. Mm-hmm. It wasn't so simple to do that. It was a whole discussion, how are they going to do that? You know, we know that, number one, a Navi is not allowed to go ahead and add anything. Forget about just some is we making up something. Navi's not allowed to add anything to the Torah anymore. Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, was a prophet of the Torah, and no Navi can add to that. And if you are going to add to it, then you're going to be transgressing this prohibition about adding. So there was a whole discussion. The Gemara talks about how did they, at the end, agree to institute Purim. But then he brings down also another thing, and he says, okay, Uma shetiknu chachamim mishum geder. And that was our sages instituted as a safeguard. We know that the Rabban and the sages instituted rabbinic laws, right? Muktzah, certain relatives you're not allowed to marry. You know, the Torah says you may marry them. They said you can't marry them. Right, takonis. Certain, you could see them as additions, right? The Torah only said these relatives are forbidden, and now the sages say, no, even more relatives are forbidden, mm-hmm. Right? Why isn't that called adding to the Torah? And the answer is because actually the Torah mandates the sages to make precautionary measures. Ushmarati mismarati. The Torah gave the power to the sages to institute laws if they felt that it would protect the laws of the Torah. So therefore, that's not called adding if the Torah gave you permission to do it. But interesting, he adds the words, Obovat sheyeda sheim ushem geder hazeh v'nim b'yak ha'desh baruch hu b'Torah. That which the sages instituted, any kind of precautionary measure like the additional relatives that are forbidden and anything similar, this is a mitzvah from the Torah. The Torah gives them the command to do so, to add if need be. As long as he knows that because it's a precautionary measure, but not that Hashem gave it in the Torah. Meaning, a law of the Rabbanan, how do they have permission to make it? The answer is the Torah gives them permission to make it.
Safeguard.
But at the safeguard. The Torah gave them permission to make a safeguard. But when you perform this safeguard, right, you have to perform it not because Hashem said in the Torah to do it. You're performing it because the sages are given permission to institute this law. But you're not going to be doing it and saying that it's the... There's an interesting discussion about, is every rabbinic law a Torah law? Why? Because the Torah mandated the rabbis to make the law. Okay, that could very well be that in that sense, it's a Torah law to follow a rabbinic edict. But you still have to follow it as a rabbinic edict. I'm following the rabbinic law that the Torah gave the rabbis to do. But to say this law is a law that came from God in the Torah, or that God added somehow to the Torah, or that I'm somehow or another adding to the Torah, that is his prohibition of adding to the Torah. Now, let's read a little further.
For the safeguard of the time.
Right. Now, the Pasuk continues. Pasuk Beis. No, actually, we read Pasuk Beis. Let's turn now to page 960, the next page, Pasuk Gimel. The Torah tells us, don't add, don't subtract. And then it tells us, Einechem hara'ois, your eye saw, Eis asher asa Hashem b'val pa'ar, that which God did to the idol of pa'ar. K'chalo ish asher halach acharei b'al pa'ar, because anyone who followed the idol of Baal Pa'ar, Hishmadei Hashem Elokecha mekerbecha, Hashem destroyed him from your midst. V'atem advekim Hashem Elokechem, and you who have clung to Hashem your God, Chaim Kolchem Ayim, you are all living today. Now here, the Torah is referring to the story of when the Jewish people, after Parshas Balak, after Bilam fails to curse the Jewish people, the Torah describes how the Jewish men began being enticed by the Moabite women, and that brought them to worship the idol called Baal Pa'ar. So here now the Torah says, your eyes have seen all that God did to Baal Pa'ar, to the idol of Pa'ar, because anyone who followed after Baal Pa'ar, Hashem destroyed. And anybody of you who clung to Hashem and didn't follow Pa'ar, you're alive today. Why is the Torah bringing this in right now? Is there some kind of connection to what we said before? Is there something new? The Torah just got finished telling us, don't add, don't subtract. Then the Torah says, your eyes saw what happened to those who worship Pa'ar. Is there some kind of connection here? So the Ramban seems to say no. The Ramban seems to say that the Torah starts of telling us, here, listen to the statutes, that you live and inherit the land, don't add to the mitzvahs, don't subtract to the mitzvahs. Now, we'll get to some details. And now we're going to start talking about, I'll read you from the Ramban. Ramban says, hold on 1 second, please. Right, the Ramban says, Ataba lahazhir b'prati ha-mitzvahs. Now the Torah is going to come, now Moshe is going to come to speak to the Jewish people about the details of mitzvahs. The Yatzchah b'avodas chachamim. So what's going to be the first thing he's going to talk about to the Jewish people about? He's going to speak about idol worship. Shishayrish l'kulan, because it is the root of all evil. The root of all aveiros is idol worship, pagan worship. So according to the Ramban, there doesn't seem to be a connection. The Torah says, listen to the statutes, listen to the laws so that you'll inherit the land. Don't add, don't subtract. And now let's start talking in detail. Let's start talking in detail about the mitzvahs. And the first thing we're going to talk about is the worst of them all, which is pagan worship. And the first thing Hashem says about pagan worship is, look what happened to those who followed Baal Pa'ar. So there's no connection, according to Ramban. The Aruch Chaim also has an interpretation here that also seems to say that there isn't any kind of connection between the two. And again, the discussion is now starting to be, Moshe is starting to discuss with the Jewish people about idol worship. That's the first thing he's starting to discuss with them. And the Aruch Chaim says like this, and the Pasuk, when Moshe Rabbeinu says, your eyes saw that which Hashem did to Baal Pa'ar, that Hashem, anybody who followed after Baal Pa'ar, Hashem destroyed, he explains like this. He explains that the wording here is K'chala ish asher halach achrei Baal Pa'ar, any man who followed after Baal Pa'ar. So the Aruch Chaim went to, what's that word followed? He followed after Baal Pa'ar. Doesn't say he worshipped Baal Pa'ar. He followed after Baal Pa'ar. Says the Aruch Chaim that the point here is a principle that we have in the Gemara in Kedushin. If you intended to do a mitzvah and you weren't able to do it, the Torah says, the Gemara says it's considered like you did the mitzvah. You intended to do a sin, and it didn't work out. Is it considered like you did a sin? No. The exception to that is idol worship. If you intended to go perform an act of idol worship or pagan worship, and it didn't happen at the end, it counts like you did it. That's the severity of idol worship. So the first thing that Moshe is saying to the Jewish people here is, I want you to look at the severity of idol worship. Look at the severity of pagan worship. Because you saw what Hashem did by Baal Pa'ar, because any man who followed after Baal Pa'ar, that means any man who wanted to worship, even if he didn't worship, he was destroyed. So according to the Aruch Chaim right now, similar to the Ramban, we begin a discussion about idol worship, and we talk about the severity of it. Now the next pasuk reads like this. We just read it before. V'atem adleikim Hashem Elokeichem, and you who cling to Hashem your God, chayim kolchem ayim, you're all alive. So the pasuk is saying those who followed Pa'ar were destroyed. Those who clung to God are alive. The Arachayim asks, why does it say ve'atem adveikim, and you that clung? And makes a connection to before. Right? And is a connecting word. It sounds like there's some kind of connection. Whoever followed Baal Pa'ar got destroyed. And you who clung to Hashem, you're alive. But it sounds like it's some kind of a continuation connection to before. It shouldn't be any kind of connection. It should just be, you clung to Hashem, you're alive. And let me read it to you. Tzarech ledas, lema amar v'atem b'taysef esvav, k'maysev al inyan rishin. Like you're adding to the previous thing that was said before. There's no comparison between them. To say, those who worship Pa'ar were destroyed, and you who clung to Hashem, what do you mean, and? What's the and? And sounds like there's some kind of similarity, some kind of connection between the two. They did this, and you did this, and some kind of connection to what they're doing. There's no connection.
It should be, but.
There's no connection to it. So therefore he explains like this. He explains the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us on a pasuk at the end of Bereishis. The pasuk says, "V'noach matzachin b'nei Hashem." Noach found favor in the eyes of God. God decided to destroy the world. Right, we're starting over again. We're going to wipe out the world. But "V'noach matzachin b'nei Hashem." Noach found favor in the eyes of Hashem. What is the meaning of that pasuk? So the Gemara Sanhedrin says, "V'noach afilu Noach shenishtayer mehem." Even Noach that was going to survive them all, Lohaya Kedai, he really wasn't worthy of surviving. El Hashematzachin, but he found favor. This discussion amongst the Mefarshim, right? Should Noach have really been killed, but since he was the best of them all, he was the one to be chosen to survive, or really worthy of surviving? So the Gemara in Sanhedrin has an opinion that says, though the Pasuk says that Noach found favor, it means that he really wasn't worthy of living. He really didn't have enough merits on his own to live when the whole world is being destroyed. But he found favor somehow, and therefore Hashem spared him. Says the Arachayim, that is what the Torah means to say here also, but it says, Ve'atem and you, Pirish. And you, right? Everybody who worshipped Pa'ar, Hashem killed. And you. And you also should have been. You also should have been killed. But because you clung to Hashem, Pirish meaning, you repented, and you connected to God, therefore you are alive. So the Arachayim is saying, and you, who really deserve to be destroyed also by Pa'ar, Hadveikim Hashem, because you clung to Hashem, because you did tshuva, that was enough for you to be spared. And he says, this is why the pasuk says, Hadveikim Hashem Elokeichem, Chayim Kulchem Hayim. All of you are alive today. In essence, all of you should have been gone. And he points this really out from the pasuk by Pinchas. It says by Pinchas Hashem said, I'm rewarding Pinchas because he stood up for the honor of God. And I didn't destroy the Jewish people in my anger. He would destroy the whole Jewish people because of what was going on? The answer is yes. He was going to destroy the whole Jewish people because of what was going on. But Pinchas was able to stop the destruction. But Pinchas' act wasn't enough. The Jewish people also had to repent. Because if they weren't repenting, then even if, let's say, Pinchas' act, somehow or another, can wipe the slate clean. But if they're continuing to sin, they're not doing tshuva, then they should keep dying. So it has to be that not only did Pinchas make up for what happened before, but he got those who would have continued to stop. So therefore, the pasuk is saying, Va'atem adveikim b'Hashem Elokeichem, and you, you're connected to before. What was going on with the Jewish people at that point of time, with following Pa'ar, whether it be the people who actually worship, people who wanted to worship, or the people that could have just been there. The kind of destruction, the kind of decree of destruction that was brought up, that was decreed upon the Jewish people at that point of time, should have wiped out the Jewish people completely. However, the Atem, but you, Hadveikim Hashem, who clung to Hashem, that means after Pinchas did what he did, you did tshuva, you repented, So although you still really should have been killed, you should have been destroyed, but because you repented, Hashem spared you. Like Noach found favor in Hashem's eyes, you found special favor to be spared because of the tshuva that you did. But again, according to, so that's how the Aruch Chaim learns up the, what these psukim are saying. You want to understand the severity of idol worship? Look what happened by Pa'ar. Anybody who even just wanted to go after Pa'ar was destroyed. And you who are alive, who you should have also been destroyed. The reason you weren't is because you were a davik, you clung to Hashem, you did tshuva, you repented. So with Pinchas's act and you're doing tshuva, therefore you were able to be spared. But this again, it all shows the severity of idol worship. So that's the Aruch Chaim. According to Aruch Chaim, the Torah went ahead and told us not to add, not to subtract. And then the Torah tells us, this starts talking about the severity of idol worship. But the Sefernu has a different explanation. And the Sefernu's explanation is really very, very interesting. So let's go back on page 958. Just to read the Pesukim according to the way the Sefernu explains. So this is back to page 958, Pasuk Beis, verse 2, chapter 4, verse 2. Lo yisoyisifu al adavar, do not add on to the word, asher neichem etzava eschem, I am commanding you, lo yisigiru menu, and do not subtract. So the Sefernu has a very interesting explanation to do not subtract. He does not work with Rashi's explanation of subtracting, of doing less of a mitzvah. But he learns like this. Lo yachshev achoshev, no one should ever think, that if the reason for the prohibition doesn't apply to you, then it won't be a sin to subtract, to do less than what the Torah wants. As King Solomon thought, ani arbe v'lo aser, I will have many wives and I will not stray. Ani arbe, I'll have many horses, but I won't return to Egypt. V'nichshela, and he stumbled. We know that Shlomo HaMelech, the Torah says about a king, don't have too many wives. Why? Because they'll make your heart stray. Shlomo HaMelech said, doesn't apply to me. It's not going to affect me. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to have many wives, and they're not going to affect me. Shlomo HaMelech thought, being that the Torah says the reason for the mitzvah gives a reason for the mitzvah, and he said, the reason for the mitzvah doesn't apply to me. So therefore he thought, I don't have to do it. He can subtract. The Torah says the king shouldn't have too many horses. Because if you have too many horses, it brings Jews back to Egypt. Shlomo HaMelech says, not going to happen by me. And therefore, I don't have to do what the Torah says. What happened at the end? His wives didn't make him stray. And Jewish people did return to Egypt. So the Torah is saying, don't subtract. Don't think that when the Torah gives a reason, and the reason doesn't apply to you, don't think that because of that, you don't have to do it. Because look, Shlomo HaMelech thought that way, and what happened? He got messed up. Mm-hmm. He did stray. Now, the Torah continues, and this is where the Sefernu makes a connection. After telling us, Lo Yisigru, after telling us, don't think that that a prohibition doesn't apply to you when you feel that the reason of the prohibition doesn't apply to you, don't do that, and I'll show you why. Einechem harayis, your eyes saw that which Hashem did to Baal Pa'ar, and to anybody who worshipped Baal Pa'ar, Hashem destroyed. The Sefernu says, by Baal Pa'ar, we find this same mistake that Shlomo HaMelech did. Hine yoyir al zeh ma'asher isem shakara b'inyan Baal Pa'ar. What can testify regarding this is what you saw happen by Baal Pa'ar. Ki omnam isem shakartu b'avoydes Baal Pa'ar. The people who sinned by Baal Pa'ar, those who worship Baal Pa'ar, lo yiskavnu lazeh b'tchila. Their intention wasn't to worship it. Aval ha'isa t'chilas kavanasa was this bavad. It was for the purpose of immorality, right? The Moabite women said, we only agree if you worship. So when they worshipped, they weren't worshipping because they wanted to worship. They didn't think worshipping meant anything. It was all about the woman. Okay? Ka'amrai v'yachela on liznois. As it says, the nation began to stray. It was all about immorality. Now, when the Torah talks about not marrying a non-Jewish woman, the Torah says, why don't you marry her? Because she's going to bring you to idol worship. That's what the Torah says. Right? His daughters will stray and cause your sons to stray. Mm-hmm. Right? The Torah, when it talks about that prohibition, the Torah connects a reason to it. if you marry the non-Jewish women, the Canaanite women, they're gonna take your son. They're gonna take your son they're gonna convince him to take him to idol worship. So the Torah says, don't marry these women because they bring you to idol worship. So each person here, chashav, in this case with the story by Baal Pa'ar, each man thought, chashav kol echad, each one thought, shezeh likra lo klal. Nah, it's not gonna happen to me. It's not gonna happen to me. I'm gonna go ahead. I'm gonna be with them, right? And to make them happy, I'll worship the idol. But that's not gonna happen to me. That's why they allow themselves to do that. He's saying, what happened is the opposite. He called Isha Sharhalach Achrei Baal Pa'ar, Li David Bivnaisav, Engam Echmehem Shanishma Bachachmasai, because of Aveda Atzma at Shishmud Hashem Alekecha. You saw that any person who went after Baal Pa'ar, he went after Baal Pa'ar, again, went after Baal Pa'ar, to what? Li David Bivnaisav, because he wanted the women. They wanted the women. Okay? What happened to those people? None of them left. None of them left. Why? Because at the end of the day, they weren't smart enough to realize that they are at the end going to start worshiping the idol. To think that there, that's not going to affect them. The Torah says, don't this, it's going to affect you. And to further, they said, nah, that's just not going to affect. At the end of the day, it did affect. It wasn't just about a question of immorality. It became idol worship. It became serious, intentional idol worship. Oh. So says this, so that's what the Torah is saying, according to Sefornu. You saw what happened when you think, when anybody thinks, when anybody decides to think that when the Torah attaches the prohibition to the reason, and anybody thinks it's not going to apply to them, to me it doesn't apply, I'll get past it, that's a big mistake. If the Torah says this is what's going to happen, the Torah knows, the Torah is telling you it's going to happen. Yeah. You can't have that kind of trust in yourself. And then it says, and you who clung to Hashem, you are alive. You who are smart enough to realize that, no, if I do this, I'm going to stray, I'm going to land up worshiping the idol. You are the ones who were able to be alive today. You who clung to Hashem, you who remained smart enough and basically accepted what the Torah says, and you were wise enough to follow what the Torah wanted, you're still alive. So according to the Sefornu, it really has a very strong connection. But the connection is to the second part. The second part, the Torah says, don't add. The Torah says, don't subtract. Don't subtract. What does it mean, don't subtract? The Sefornu says, it means don't think that you don't have to follow prohibition when the Torah gives a reason and you say the reason doesn't apply to me. That's wrong. Because look what happened by Pa'ar. That's exactly what happened by them. They thought that the reason for not marrying these women or being with these women is not to come to idol worship. They said, not going to happen to us. We're not going to fall into idol worship. But at the end, they were all destroyed because they did. Okay, so there is a very strong connection between the two things.
The more you do something,
right,
then you start doing it. Grows on you. Not doing anything. But if you keep doing it, all of a sudden,
right.
It'll burn and
right.
You'll stop believing what
right.
You're doing.
So, right.
That means stay away from bad women.
Okay.
Now, the
Tam V'Das has another explanation into the connection between the two. Tam V'Das is Rabbi Shmuel Sternbach of Yerushalayim, a very prominent rabbi in Eretz Yisrael. And in his Sefer on Chumash, he also makes a connection, a similar connection. And he says that the lessons of Pa'ar is that if one either adds or tries to amend a mitzvah or halacha, okay, based on his own understanding, you're bound to come to serious prohibitions. Connection is, don't add, don't subtract. Don't decide that you can amend the Torah, that you can fix the Torah. And even if you have good reasons why you want to fix the Torah, don't do that. Because if you do that, you're going to land up transgressing some serious prohibitions. Down the line, it's going to turn into transgressing serious things. And you see that from Pa'ar. You see that from Baal Pa'ar. Now, by Baal Pa'ar, it's a similar approach like the Sefornu, but he says it a little bit differently. And he says like this. How do you worship Pa'ar? You went to the bathroom in front of it, right? You went to the bathroom on it. That's the way you did worshipped it. Chaim Shmulevitz used to say, you know, the point, what kind of worship is that? And he used to explain that kind of worship is that the God says you can do whatever you want. You're free to do whatever you want. Okay. When these men We're going to be worshiping Par. Okay? What did they think when they started? Even if they, let's say, they knew this is the form of worship, right? But they said, I'm not doing it for the worship. I'm doing it to degrade it.
Yeah.
I'm doing it to degrade it. Okay? So on the contrary, I'm doing a mitzvah here. So they were trying to amend the law. The law says, you know, if this is the way to worship it, you're not allowed to worship it. No, I'm not going to worship it that way. I'm just going to do this. It happens to be the worship, but I'm not going to do it as the worship. I'm just going to do it because, on the contrary, I'm going to be disgracing it. I'm going to be degrading it. That was their intention. But what happened at the end?
Yeah,
turned around. Mm-hmm. It turned into actual worship. Because, again, once you start doing the prohibition, right, it's gonna start growing on you. So you're going to start connecting with it. The Eight Sahara starts getting you to consider it, to think about it. And that's what happened. So they came, they were trying to amend a law. They're trying to amend this form of this prohibition of idol worship by saying, we're not doing it for worship, we're doing it to degrade it. And what happened at the end? They landed up turning it to idol worship. So the point of the lesson of the Torah is, says Ramesh Sternbach, is that if you decide to amend the Torah, although again, you mean well, but you're going to decide that you can amend the Torah, mm-hmm. at the end of the day, it's going to turn into problems. Mm-hmm. It's going to turn into problems. Just like the problems that turn there, it's going to turn into problems. Because anytime you really start deciding to do things on your own, even with good intention, it can start leading to just deciding to do more and more things on your own, mm-hmm. which will actually be forbidden. Then you also have the other way. Loi sigru, don't subtract. So Ramesh Sternbach says, what is the Torah telling us not to subtract? What does it mean not to subtract? It means also, the same way you mean well to amend by adding, right? You can mean well to subtract, but that's also disastrous. Because sometimes people feel, and there have been many people who have over Jewish history felt this way, you know, it's too much of a burden, mm-hmm. right? Jews aren't keeping mitzvahs. It's too much. We got to lessen the load, right?
Yeah.
We'll let up on some things. And if we'll let up on some things, then they'll come and do other things. They'll do more things. They'll do more important things. If we let up on one thing, then that'll get them to do more other things, mm-hmm. or more important things, right? That was the idea behind taking down the conservative movements, taking down the mechitza from the shul. Right? All they wanted to do was take down the mechitza. Let families sit together. That'll get people into the shul. Okay? The results of that was what's a movement that doesn't subscribe to that, Torah, to halacha.
Right. That's okay? American.
But I'm saying, reform was worse than that. Reform they did worse.
In Europe
they had a reform.
Yeah.
So that was worse. But the point is that you have these ideas of, you know, we got to lessen things up. It's too much. If we lessen things up and make it not as burdensome, not as difficult, mm-hmm. then people will come back and we'll have them doing the main things, right?
Yep.
That's how Richard Sternbach learns. That's what the Torah here is saying. Lei sigru, don't detract, mm-hmm. right? Don't subtract. Even if you have good intentions, why you want to subtract? But if you subtract, then that's going to cause problems because once it starts, then it doesn't stop. I'll give you another extra example of this. Getting back to Pinchas, right? Pinchas killed Zimri. So we have a situation. You have the Jewish men are following the Moabite women. There's a plague raging. And now Zimri, a prince of the tribe of Shimon, a very prestigious, great man, takes a Midianite princess and commits the same kind of sin, and everybody knows about it. What was he thinking? Was he thinking, or he wasn't thinking? Did he just fall prey to what's going on, or did he have some higher intent? And many of the commentaries speak about that he had a higher intent. Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld explained that Zimri's intent was like this. This is how he explained it. Zimri felt like this. So what's the big problem here, right? Clearly it's a problem that they're running after non-Jewish women. The main problem is the idol worship. Right? Now the thing is like this. They're not allowed to marry these women, right? So if they want to marry them, or if they want to be with them, they have to go over to them, right? They got to go over into Moab. They got to go over to their places, right? And once they're there, they entice them to the idol worship. If we could allow the Jewish men to marry the Moabite women, guess where they have to come? They'll have to come to the Jewish camp. If we get them in the Jewish camp, they won't be able to get them into our worship idols. Where worship? Why is this idol worship problem coming about? Because since they can't marry them, since they can't have them, they can't bring them to the Jewish camp, they're going to the Moabite, going into Moab, the country Moab, and they get land up worshiping idols because it's a country that worship idols. But if we could allow them to go ahead and marry and to have them here, then we won't have that problem. So basically, what was he saying? He was saying, look, of course, they're not supposed to be with these women, right? But we got a big problem here. They're worshiping the idol of Par. That's 10 times worse. We have to relax things. You got to let them marry the Moabite women. They bring the women back here. Once they're over here, they won't be wearing idol worship anymore. So what was the end of that story? Yeah. Pinchas listened to halacha that says, if a person is with a non-Jewish woman, a zealot has a lot to kill him, and that stopped the plague. So who was right? Pinchas. So who was right at the end? Pinchas. So that's another example of where someone actually meant to subtract for a good reason. He had good intentions. He had good intentions, but at the end of the day, good intentions don't work. A person has to subject their will and their intellect to the will of the Torah. And, you know, and this in some ways, you know, comes out nowadays in a certain way. You know, it comes out in a way that society has certain standards. And they have their standards regarding morality, what's moral, what's immoral, you know, what's called human rights, equal rights, social justice, right? They have these standards of what's right and what's wrong. And these are standards that if in society, some of them are like, don't even think of challenging them. They're like, they are untouchable. But they're secular beliefs. They're secular standards, they're secular morals. They're not Jewish morals, they're not Torah morals. But people become so caught up in them, that when those standards of society contradict the Torah, there are people who have a hard time following Torah tradition, the Masorah, our tradition, or following a halachic decision that doesn't conform with that. Yeah. Because they allow those secular morals, those secular ideals they allow them to come into their lives. They start accepting and believing in it. And when it becomes a contradiction to the Torah, it's a Torah that loses out in the end by them. It's a problem. It's a problem in certain circles. People who think, yes, we're religious and we're Orthodox and we're observant. But at the end of the day, when it comes to a conflict between a secular standard, a secular belief and a Torah belief, a belief based on the Torah, based on Chazal, based on our sages, based on the tradition that we've passed from generation to generation, they give more credence to the secular ideal.
Too much freedom.
To the secular ideal. What we have, and now at the same time, we always are working to interpret the Torah and apply the Torah to contemporary times. We're always trying to do that. But when we do that, we don't bend the Torah for the ideals of society, right? The Torah has a framework within which we work within to be able to apply the Torah standards and ideals to contemporary times. But it has a set of rules. It has a framework. It's not a hefkevel. It's not a free-for-all. And it's certainly not an idea that secular ideals override Torah ideals. So we have to always understand that no matter how much we may try to interpret and apply the Torah's principles and ideals to contemporary times, we are never trying to make the Torah conform to our ideas and to our beliefs. We have to conform to the Torah. The Torah doesn't have to conform to us. And when we follow that and stick to that, that's a fulfillment of what the Torah says, V'atam adveikim b'Hashem elokeichem, you will cling to Hashem. You subject your will and your intellect to the will of Hashem and the Torah, Chaim kol chamayim, you merit life.